Appreciate all your prayers on my behalf. Deidre texted me, I think, about 12:30 and said, if you get a headache, go to the emergency room. You may have a concussion. I didn't see her email, so I had a headache and I went to bed. And I feel much better, so my bed, it makes a good ER, I guess, at times. First things first, getting the cart before the horse. If any of you wondered what that picture was, it's an old saying. How many of you are familiar with that saying? Most of us, it looks like, so I thought that would be a cute picture to use. We have a problem sometimes with priorities and putting things in the right order as God would have us to. Christ revealed the need for setting proper priorities in Matthew 6:33 when he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. So seek first the kingdom. That should be our first priority in life. We tend many times to put first things last and last things first. And that's so easy for us to do. That's the reason it's good to make lists and put the first priority at the top. Because we're not careful, those little things get in our way and we don't ever get around to that most important thing that we should have been doing. It points out that the old recipe for rabbit started out with this injunction. First, catch the rabbit. The writer knew how to put first things first. And so you got to catch that rabbit before you can cook him. And so putting first things first is so important. That's what we do when we establish priorities. We put the things that should be in first place in their proper order. We're going to be looking at four things from Matthew 6:33 that will help us to see the importance of putting first things first and how to do that. First of all, we see obligations. Seek. That's a command for us to seek. And so we must understand that it's not an option, it is a command for us to seek the kingdom of God first. If we desire a heavenly home, we must follow this absolute imperative. Seeking requires a diligent effort on our part. If you've ever been in a hurry and you lost your keys, you know what seeking means. You're diligently trying to find, turning everything upside down to find them. Thankfully, mine is kind of like my desk in my office. My keys are always in my pocket. Whatever's in my office is always on my desk. So yeah, I don't have to seek very far. I just have to find it on that desk somewhere. Matthew 18:11-12 says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And so there's a diligent effort there put on the part of that individual, that shepherd, looking for that one lost sheep. It's a priority for him. He's got 99 there in the fold, safe, but one is lost, and he makes it his priority to find that lost sheep. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So are we diligently seeking God? Is that a first priority of ours, to diligently seek him? And then Colossians 3:1-10, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And so, if we're going to seek God, we're going to have to get rid of those evil things out of our lives and add those things that we should be doing in our lives and get our priorities straight. And that takes seeking, working diligently at it. Not just, oh, well, nothing else going on today, I think I'll go to church. Or, you know, I've got time today, so I think I'll do this or that God wants me to do. Rather than putting those things first and saying, this is something God wants me to do and I need to do it and get that done. So there's an obligation to seek. And then the objects. The object of our seeking is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The top priorities in a Christian's life are the kingdom or the church. Matthew 16, 18 and 19, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And Peter had the keys to the kingdom, and he used those on the day of Pentecost by preaching the gospel. And we have that same key to the kingdom, the gospel, so that we can share it with others so that they also can be saved and be in heaven for eternity. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus said that's what the kingdom of heaven is like, or should be like to each of us, that we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. We put it in first place. We're willing to give anything and everything else up for the sake of the kingdom. Ultimately, we would die for Christ. We would die for the church. We would die for our faith in God. And so that's what the scripture is talking about, letting us know that's the importance of the kingdom. That's why the kingdom is so important for us, that we'd be willing to give up any and everything we have to have the kingdom of God. And then we also seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is revealed in the gospel of Christ, Romans 1, 16 through 17. Matthew 5 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirsting for righteousness. That gets back to that seeking. It's something that we hunger for. I don't know if any of you, we were on a diet once, and it said you got to feel that hunger. Wait until you're hungry to eat. And I said, explained what it was. It's a little rumble in your stomach. And I never felt that. I could go all day long and not eat. I never felt that little rumble they're talking about. But when we're really hungry, and I don't know that I ever have been. Claire probably had been, because she was down to just eating pumpkin. Their household, that's all they had was pumpkin. And so, but someone is really hungry. You know, this morning we looked at Jesus, fasted for 40 days, and he was hungry. Yeah, I imagine so after 40 days. So if you've ever experienced hunger, that's your priority then, to get something to eat. And thirsting, I've been thirsty before. And I was looking for something I could drink, because that thirst becomes a priority. You've got to get that. And so hungering and thirsting for righteousness, if we have that hunger and thirst, God's going to see that we're filled with that. Romans 6, 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. slaves of righteousness. We were slaves of sin. Now we're slaves of righteousness. And so we had two choices in this life. We're going to be a slave either to Satan or to God, and we have to choose which one we want. Well, we're going to choose the one that's the best master. And God is just looking out for our best well-being. He wants what is best for us, what's going to be beneficial to us, and Satan wants the opposite. Sin is a hard taskmaster, and you have to pay a heavy price when you get involved in sin. But righteousness leads to more righteousness and joy and peace and contentment in the Christian life. Romans 10, 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So righteousness is being right in the sight of God, doing what God wants us to do. And Paul is saying here that there are those who are ignorant of God's righteousness. They don't know what God wants them to do. And so they just establish their own concept of righteousness. And that's what's happened in the religious world today. And that's the reason you can point to a scripture and say, this is what the scripture says. But they've been doing this so long, they think that's what God wants them to do. And yet they're ignorant of God's righteousness, what God said about this. They're ignorant of it. And so they establish their own ideas of righteousness. Oh, God's not going to punish me for my sin. I can do whatever I want to do, and God's a forgiving God, and he'll go along with it. And even to the point that we think that's what God wants, that God wants us to be involved in this or that sin, that he approves of it. And so very serious problem of being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness. And when that happens, they don't submit to the righteousness of God. They're not willing to even listen to what the Bible says because they believe so much what they believed all this time or what they've been taught that they won't accept the truth of God's word. And then we have order. First, seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first. That's the priorities. The emphasis is that the church that belongs to Christ must never take a back seat. And all too often, we always put the church last and say, well, if I don't have to work, or if nothing's going on at the lake, or the fish aren't biting, or deer season's not in, whatever it is, we put in place of going to church. And that's not good. I appreciate what Mel said one Wednesday night. He said, if you've got a problem with coming to church, that's the easy part. So if you're not doing that, it's very unlikely that you're doing the other things that God wants you to do. And so that's the easy part. In all we do, we must seek to put these things first in our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Mark 12, 29 through 30, Jesus answered him, the one that said, which is the greatest commandment? The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So loving God is keeping his commandments. Do we love God enough with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our mind, all of our whole life, our whole soul? Do we love him more than anything else? Are we willing to sacrifice everything else for what God wants us to do in our lives? Or do we put that on the back burner and say, well, I'll do that later, maybe, if I get around to it? Luke 14, 26 through 28. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So he's not talking about literally us hating our father and mother, obviously, because there are other places he talks about we need to love our father and our mother and our wife and our children and those things. But what he's saying in comparison to, if we're placed with the situation where we choose them or we choose God, then we have to forsake them for the sake of God. And hopefully and thankfully, that very seldom happens. But I've heard of it happening. I've known of people who were rejected by their family because they were obedient to the gospel. And so Jesus is saying that you've got to be willing to give them up. He uses the term hate here in comparison to the love you have for God, that you would forsake them for the sake of the kingdom. And that's a pretty strong statement because, like I said, he teaches that we should love them. But if they stand between us and God and doing God's will, then we have that responsibility to forsake them for the sake of God. 2 Corinthians 8:5, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. See, we need to give ourselves first to God. And if we give ourselves to God, if we recognize that we belong to God, then it's not going to be a problem for us to do what God wants us to do. Because we belong to him. We have eternal life waiting for us in heaven because of him. And so what would we be willing to do to have eternal life in heaven? That's the question that we've got to answer. And the answer should be anything. Anything God wants me to do, even up to my death, I would do to be in heaven and have what God has offered for me there. That's the emphasis. First, we've got to get the order right. We've got to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. And then the outcome. If you do this, then all these things will be added to you. This statement shows the blessings that will result if your priorities are right. If you really put God first in your life, then there are going to be great blessings as a result of that. The result for obediently seeking the kingdom and God's righteousness will lead you to every need being supplied. What an awesome promise that is. Philippians 4:9 says, my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So if we put him first, he's going to see that the needs that we have, those things that we might typically be worried about and anxious about, he's going to see that we have those things because he has that power. 2 Corinthians 9:8-11. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always having sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Basically, what that's saying is that if we're willing to use what we have to glorify God, God's going to see that we have more to glorify him with. So he's going to bless us because he knows we're going to use it to honor and glorify him. And so we're blessed in that. This does not mean that all of your wants will be taken care of. That says needs, and there's a difference in needs and wants. Big difference. It is also a clear reminder that we must be willing to pay the price to get the blessings. Luke 14:28-33. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, He sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever you who does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So we had to count the cost. And we should have been presented with that when we were taught the gospel, that we have to be willing to give up everything for the sake of Christ. If we want that home in heaven, we had to be willing to sacrifice everything. When he talks about counting the cost and beginning to build and not finishing, and people mocked him. Remember when we lived in Colorado, we'd go to the next big town where a lot of times we'd go for shopping or that sort of thing. And there was a big, looked like a motel being built over there. And that sat there for years with no windows in it, no siding on it, still had tar paper on the outside. And it sat there for years. And I don't know whatever happened with it. But a lot of money was put into that, but they didn't count the cost. And as a result of that, they never finished it. Money was lost on that as a result of it. We have to count the cost. And that's true with our following Jesus. We have to count the cost. And we have to be willing to pay the price that it takes to follow him. If we want the outcome that he's promised us, all these things shall be added to you, then we have to pay the price. We have to do what God wants us to do if we want that to happen. So what about you? Are you putting first things first in your life? Are you seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness first? If so, then worry and anxiety should not be in your life. See, that's what he said just before this and after this, that why are you worried about all these things? Because if you seek the kingdom of God first, God's going to take care of all the rest of it. If we put him first, God's going to take care of everything else. And even if we wind up dying for him, we've got that home in heaven. So we're going to be even more blessed at our death than we are in life here on this earth. And we need to understand that, we need to believe that, and we need to live like we believe that. If we can help you to put God first in your life, so in initial obedience where you recognize you have sin in your life, you need to repent of that, you confess Jesus as the Son of God, and your Lord and your Master, and you're buried with him in baptism to wash away your sins, to enter into the kingdom, and to ultimately have that home in heaven. Live faithfully to him, putting him first in all of your actions. And when you fail, then you repent and confess that, as we talked about this morning. So if we can help you to be sure that your life is right with God, you're putting first things first, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.